Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome, everyone, to the NXT TakeOver 36 media call. We appreciate everybody that could take the time out of their day to join us today. On the line, we have Paul. Paul, do you have any opening comments?
Just excitement, you know, and I know there's so many questions right now. And for me, it's a matter of, like, I'm just desperate to answer. Give you guys what you need to hear, right? Because there's a lot going on. Let's get into it.
Our first question comes from Sean Sapp from Wrestle My British Granny. Sean?
Oh, hello. Hey, guys.
Please unmute your mic.
Paul, thank you for doing this. I appreciate you taking the time. How are you doing?
I'm good. For now, I'm good.
That's great. I'm also doing great, and we just appreciate you taking your time.
I didn't ask, actually, but okay.
Okay, well, first question is one that's been on the minds of a lot of people. Why have you not fired Velveteen Dream?
No comment.
Our next question comes from Wigs R Us, Emmy winner, John Alba.
It's great to chat with you, Paul, as always. My check from Tony came in on time this week, so when can I expect yours?
No comment.
Our next question comes from WrestleNomics, Brandon Thurston.
Hey, Paul, thanks for taking the time today. I know I've been on the bad boy list for a while, so I'm really grateful for you bringing me back here. I just wanted to talk to you about the TV ratings, if I could. You know, you guys have been on Tuesdays now since April, and we saw some positive year-over-year growth for NXT in April and May. But since June, and each month since, there's been single-digit declines in viewership year-over-year. So ratings are down, despite NXT not going against another wrestling show, which don't worry, I'm not going to mention. I know you guys are focused on yourselves, but I just want to know, you know, what are you guys doing to address the ratings, and what do you think the reason is for the ratings being down?
You know, I actually am going to comment on that, Brandon, and I think it speaks to my leadership, because frankly, I said if you don't like it, don't watch, and they followed my lead on that. So I have a comment. So that's all I'll say to that. And also, it is not a sprint. And you should know that by now.
Our next question comes from Dr. Chris Mueller of Reports of Bleachers.
Hi, this is my first NXT call. Thank you so much for having me on.
It will be your last.
Yeah, well, probably. So I don't know if you're aware of this, Paul, but my father used to work for WWE and you guys used to work out together. And I was just wondering if you could comment on why he was stronger than you.
Absolutely no comment whatsoever.
Our next question comes from Owen of No Last Name, Just Owen.
Oh, wow. Hi. Thanks, Triple H. Thanks for making the time today. I really appreciate it.
Oh, and it's Paul.
Okay. Sorry. Thank you, Mr. Triple H. It's kind of not related, I suppose, to NXT and TakeOver 36 this weekend, but it's quite simple. Have you ever ridden a train with Ric Flair?
I would love to comment, but no comment.
Our next question comes from SP3 of Piped In Crowd Noise.
Hey, Paul. How you doing? How's everything?
Clearly, I'm doing great. Clearly, you can see that, right?
Why do you hate black people? Because you beat Triple H and you called them you people.
Definitely no comment.
Our next question comes from Kate of Sucks at Marvels.
Inappropriately credited, but thank you so much for taking the time. I actually have two questions. The first one is, did you guys know that that CM Punk's coming back to wrestling on a different program? And I'll ask my second one, and then I'll get out of your way here. What is the contract status of Velveteen Dream at Distraxion next?
I mean, I'm not going to comment on the second, but firstly, we've dealt with UFC fighters before, right? And you've seen how it works. Phil is someone that didn't cut it. You know, and we're going to go back to Cain Velasquez before we ever look at Phil. But good luck to him.
Our next question comes from Books of Comics, Connor Casey. Connor, please fix your mic. Please fix your video. Connor, I'm sorry. Our next question comes from Carolina, North Carolina.
Hello, can you hear me?
We can hear you, yes. Unlike the last person, we couldn't hear them. We can hear you.
Oh, okay. I hope you're doing well today. My question is, are you open for business?
I have no comment on us not being open for business, but I will not comment on us being open for business.
Our final question comes from Robert O'Neill from the Robert O'Neill section of Twitter.
Hey, Paul. Just want to know, how's your territory doing?
You know what? I have had enough of all of you.
This one's for all pals and O'Neill. Set a feed from the jaws of victory with the pop gun and the chubby cheese. Distraction. Hey! Podcast. We will build. Don't mean shit, so what's Joseph Grin? Chaser do his bit. Distraction. Hey! Roll up. One, two, three.
Hello, welcome everyone to the Distraction. Jack Crosby's here. We didn't even give Jack Crosby an intro in the bit. Brandon Thurston's still around. I feel I'm gonna bring Brandon on because he's like actually good at what he does, unlike these other dorks that we had on media call. Brandon, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you guys?
We're good. Thanks for doing that. I reached out and I was like, dude, if I can get Thurston to ask about ratings, that'd be great. And thank you for doing that.
Yep, I'm a big fan of fake media calls.
You are too.
Comes at the right place.
There's our one speciality around here.
Brandon, you can plug anything if you would like.
Oh, you can go to russellonics.com and read some of my written work and see some resources. You can follow me at Brandon Thurston and at WrestleOmics. I have a weekly podcast, WrestleOmics Radio, that's on any podcast app. Just search for WrestleOmics. And I have a Patreon, patreon.com/WrestleOmics, where you can get all of my daily, every weekday, there's a ratings report to write up, and it's out there on the Patreon.
There you go. See, Brandon was smart enough to just stick around backstage. I was like, well, yeah. I don't want him to just like hang around and not do anything, so I'll just put him on camera.
I was hoping this would go 43 minutes as usual.
we have an actual show to do where we talk about absolutely nothing. We've done a 43-minute media call before.
Yeah.
Our fake federation, which is doing just about as well as NXT is right now.
Oh,
no. Thank you, Brandon. Enjoy this weekend, buddy.
Alrighty. Take care, guys.
You too.
See you, Brandon.
My great God. Stuff. Jack Crosby, great how stuff. Are you?
Fellas, how we doing? It's been a while. What, like 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Dude, I've got to just apologize to everyone. Like, we may have just actively damaged careers there, man. I don't know about that. I don't know if that went the way it needed to go, I've got to say.
I didn't know Brandon was going to be on. I didn't know Sean was going to be on.
I got real friends in this business, Jack Crosby. Real media friends.
I did not expect that. Brandon popped me the most. I mean, come on now. That man right now might be in the top three influential media members in wrestling right now. And he just pops on here to do this bullshit.
I was definitely a twist. Yes, definitely a choice. Politically, very, very. Look, God bless them all for joining us here, because that was a that was something, man. I don't know about that one.
I messaged Brandon like in a couple hours before the show. I think I told Joseph, I was like, I'm gonna try to get Brandon to ask a ratings question. And I've had very limited communication with him. So I was like, hey, we're doing this. Do you like want to come on? He's like, it sounds tremendous. I'll be there. I was like, fantastic. I was very happy to get that one. Tremendous. Oh, let's read some super chats. JJ says, hello to my favorite big stars. Nice, Luther got you a PS5. Luther didn't give me. He got me this bracelet. This bracelet I'm wearing? Chaos Project.
Oh, man. Oh, wow.
Yeah. All hail, Miro vs. Kingston. Still can't believe Sting wrestled on TNT. Love you both. Thanks, JJ. Thanks, buddy. Guys, send your question, comments, statements on super chats. Get them read on the air. Frank says, we're going to win, pals. We certainly are. Distraction media calls are my new favorite medium of communication. We have to do a financials call at some point. I don't know what that's going to be, but I've been told we have to do this.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, I know. JJ also says, top notch by Paul Holbert. Thank you for the media doing our call. Crying with laughter. Welcome to the legend, Jack Crosby.
You know, I have to say, Jeremy said to me beforehand, he goes, we're going to do fake names. Yeah. So I'm sitting there, I'm getting ready to answer questions, and he goes, opening comments from Paul, and I was like, I wonder who Paul's going to be. And I looked at Jeremy, he's like looking at me. I was like, oh, that's me. I'm Paul. Yeah, I understand.
That's how we're playing the role of Paul.
I know, I get it, but I was, you know, very confusing.
Robert O'Neill just paid $5. Is he going to write this off? I didn't get to talk to him before I went on air, but tell Jack the Yankees are back. I wish we had a hot corner today.
Six in a row, baby. Six in a row.
There you go.
Sounds really exciting, Jack.
I'm very excited. Shut up.
I'm happy for you, man. That's the way I see it. It's just like, I'm happy for you. We'll leave it at that, right? That's fine.
Guys, we're here to talk about – what are we here to talk about? WWE SummerSlam?
Let's get this straight right now. Hold on. Sean Ross Sapp retweeted it last night, so I'm on to something here. We're here to talk about Paul White and QT Marshall and nothing else.
Did you see Tall Paul put us over?
I did see that.
Yeah.
That, there's levels to this shit. Levels.
It really is.
And he's on the top, baby.
You're fired up for this match, Jack. Explain.
All right. I'm a QT Marshall guy. I like the dude. I don't understand some of the hate for him. I like him. I think this character's awesome. I love this heel character. I love the bowling shirt bit. And Paul, I'm excited to see Tall Paul back in the ring. He's a legend, for Christ's sake.
Yeah. I must say, I loved last night's segment. A little long for me. I like the idea of it, because let's be real. If they do it right, it'll be a nice piece of escapism on the pay-per-view. He's going to kill QT in a few minutes. And like, not everything needs to be a 20-minute, you know, match of the year effort, right? Like, I think there's a place for him, man. But I think the big thing with this is, I don't know where you're at in this, Jeremy, but Jack and I just pop for Paul White. We find him fun.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't. They hate Paul. So they find it uninteresting, right? That's what it is.
I don't have an issue with it, because like you guys said, he's going to come on there. He's gonna beat him in like 2 minutes, and that'll be it. The people pop for it. Like, the people like Paul White, right? Especially, they're not doing a Hager and Dustin match here. Oh. It's going to be maybe a short little knockout thing. It'll be great. It'll, like you said, Joseph, it'll be a nice break from everything. You're going to get plenty of great wrestling on All Out. It's okay to have like this little short little match that people enjoy as a little nostalgia. So I'm all for it. It doesn't bother me at all.
Yeah, you need something like this on a loaded card like that. That's, you know, one of their biggest events of the year. Something like this doesn't hurt.
But we have to all be clear here that if we watch the pay-per-view and they do a 30-minute match, we'll retract.
I will call the cops. Like, that's where, really? Like, I will draw the line. I will call the police. I will call the Chicago Police Department. I will have someone in
there. So at what minute do you call the police? Do you wait until the finish?
I call them. If my stopwatch hits minute 12, I'm calling the police.
12? So you're gonna let it go 12 minutes?
Well, because, you know, you, when you fit in the shenanigans instead of the stalling, QT maybe playing a chicken shit heel, You have to factor that stuff in. But we hit 12 minutes. No. I'm calling the authorities.
No, we don't need that much calling. We don't need that much stalling.
The idea of Jack
12 minutes.
Jack's poor wife's giving birth, and Jack's outside on the phone. You got to send someone. You don't, Rosemont, baby. It's getting out of hand over there.
I'm gonna be there. I'd love if just like it goes 12 minutes and then the next match, whatever it is, the Young Bucks are in the steel cage and the cops just come out.
I'm calling the Chicago Police Department going, did you guys see that Malice at the Palace documentary on Netflix? You're gonna have one of those situations over there pretty soon. You guys better get over there. These people That's are gonna wonderful. Revolt.
Look, man, if it goes 12 minutes, I'll walk out.
I'm not saying bell to bell either. I'm talking entrances too, not bell to bell.
Wow, that's because Paul takes a while.
Yeah, he does take a while to get down.
So now you guys see where I'm getting the 12 from. Is it starting to add up now?
Yeah. I'm with it. Yeah, I don't mind calling the police in any situation. I get your point.
Also, for All Out, Young Bucks defending tag titles in a steel cage. I don't like this match. I don't. They're doing tournament to set up.
It's not a match yet. How do you not like it?
I don't like the way they're getting to this match. I don't like it.
In what sense? Like the tournament part?
Yeah, they do this every pay-per-view. It's like, oh, let's just do a tournament or a battle royal to determine the top contender for these titles. But didn't they do a tournament to determine the top contender last time? The Young Bucks won a tournament. That's how they got their title shot.
That's a long time. Jeremy, that's...
It was less than a year ago.
Yeah, but that's just 9 months of television, right? Last time was...
They only got 2 pay-per-views between then.
Yeah, but I think you're being a bit... Would they do it every time thing? What was the February tag title? Or that March? Jericho and MJF.
Yeah, wasn't that a tournament? That was a battle royal. That was a battle royal thing.
Yeah, but your beef can't be that they have people win their title shots, surely.
My beef is that like I just want a little bit more meat on these programs.
I could see where Jeremy's coming from on like a double-sided coin here, because all right, on the like one argument against that, Jeremy, is you can't bitch that like WWE will just say
keep that same
okay,
energy.
Okay. Sort of in a way, it's like you can't look at WWE and bitch at them for all right. Well, this person's the number one contender because we said so. Where
an win AEW, championship contender matches Jeff
at AEW at the same time is saying, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a bunch of the good teams. We're going to figure this shit out before the pay-per-view.
It's the top four.
But at the same time, I could also see the other side of the coin, because my argument against what AEW is doing, like Jeremy's, is all right, then why do we have this ranking system if you're going to take a bunch of these teams and figure it out? You've already figured it out by ranking the number one contender.
So the reason is these
teams too.
Like but here's, these teams. The reason is that the four teams are Lucha Bros, Blondes, Private Party, and Jurassic, right? And the idea is Jurassic Express deserve another shot because they were completely robbed. So they stay. And the other three, Varsity Blondes lost like 3 or 4 months ago, but like they're not, none of them are kind of lesser than the other in terms of deserving a shot. They've all like due a match with the Bucks, basically. So to split them, we're doing a tournament.
When was the last time Private Party or Lucha Bros won on TV?
The last time Private Party won on TV?
Yeah. I mean, they won the 6-man. Yeah, I don't know about a tag. But that's just not how that promotion works.
I know, but I don't like that. I don't like it.
But it's the problem with it is like, have they not been losing on TV either, right?
My problem is like, I want like actual feuds for these shows. It's something we've talked about plenty, Joseph, is I want it to feel like it's the culmination of something. This is just like, hey, all right, these are our top four teams because we gave them a bunch of wins on B shows that maybe people saw, maybe they didn't. Now we're going to do a tournament. It's good. I will never complain about they won their way to a title shot and they beat other teams that are in the top contendership. I want it to feel like the culmination of something. I guess in this regard, I will play devil's advocate against myself. It will feel like the culmination of like the Elite storyline, because they have been using outside interference to win a lot of these matches. Now it's in a steel cage, which theoretically keeps everybody out. So I get that point of it. Again, I just want it to feel like it's the culmination of an actual feud and not just, all right, we're going to do a quick tournament 2 weeks before the show, and here's your top contender.
If it's the Jurassic Express, though, it will be more of a feud. I think it will be Lucha Bros. But it could, if it's Jurassic Express, it would feel like a feud, right?
Yes, and I hope it is Jurassic Express. If it's Lucha Bros, they haven't. They took out Phoenix, right? But then Phoenix just returned and they didn't care. And that's what they'll say. They're like, oh, we took out Phoenix 6 months ago and never mentioned it again.
See, where I'm at is, see, it's tricky. Like, I'm a sucker for an old school, like, NWA type guy that I am. I'm a sucker. Like, I heard Steel Cage Match last night. I marked out. Like, Steel Cage Match, biggest show of the year. I'm down. Great. Like, sign me up for it. My thing is, you're going to do a Steel Cage Match with the Bucks for the tag team titles on one of your top two or three pay-per-views of the year, wherever they consider All Out to be on that pecking order. My thing is, it should be Santana and Ortiz. Shouldn't be any of those. It should be Santana and Ortiz. Because then you get the feeling of these dudes are going to get their asses whipped inside that cage.
So here's the thing. I think, to your point, Jet, the best way to explain it would be, when you and I hear cage match, in reality, looking back, if the timeline could have worked out differently, the story they have with Mox and Kingston would have been better for the cage. Because you're selling it on, you're selling it on these two badasses going to kick the shit out of these heels. That's the idea, right? I completely get that. But I think what we're doing here, and this is the reason it's a little bit awkward, with Kingston and Miro going one, I think we can all pencil in Santana and Ortiz winning the tag titles at Arthur Ashe. I just think that's what they're doing. I think the fact that Kingston and Miro is going before that is very telling. So this is almost like the last little bit of heat you get on the Bucks before they drop them in New York. I think that's my read on it. Okay. So I don't think he's perfect. I think that's why this kind of feels stopgappy, if that makes any sense. I think that's what's going on here, but I could be completely wrong. We shall see.
Do we think that Santana and Ortiz and FTR is on All Out as well? Santana and Ortiz win, and then
either that or the TV after. One of those two. And I think it'll be a stick match, a street fight maybe, or something like that. It'll and they'll go over and it will set up their title match, basically.
It's so tough because for so long I was convinced, and I think I was rightfully convinced that All Out was going to be where the Elite crumbled completely, where Hangman beats Kenny for the title. The Young Bucks were going to lose the tag team. Like, they were going to lose literally everything they had in the same, all in one night. And then the Hangman thing happened. And now, like, I think that no matter what happens, I think the Bucks are leaving with those titles, obviously. And Kenny's leaving with that world title. I mean, Kenny might be confronted by a Punk or Brian or at the end of the show after he beats Christian. But now none of it's going to happen.
I'm totally with you. I thought that's where they were going as well. And then once the Hangman stuff fell through, maybe that reshaped everything. Because it clearly reshaped that main event. Because I definitely don't think they were planning on Kenny and Christian going back to back like that. So I think it definitely reshaped the main event. And I think it may have reshaped what they were actually going to do with the Young Bucks as well. Joseph, let's talk about... Oh, God. Anything else on the tag team?
Oh, my God. No, I think it was maybe supposed to be Silver and Reynolds was maybe what the plan was if the Hangman match was happening. But, you know, again, that's all we're complete. That's like a lost timeline now, right?
Yeah. Let's talk about our guy, John Moxley. Doesn't look like he's facing Tanahashi. Tanahashi's going to be in Japan September 4th. Don't know if he's going to make it back September 5th for All Out. Mm-hmm. Is there a chance? I mean, you saw Moxley's promo last night. I know they're setting up Darby for Punk, it would seem. Is there a chance they're setting up Moxley for Punk?
So this is the big conversation I wanted to have. And hopefully Jack can return soon because I'm intrigued. Like, I think now that we know the puzzle pieces at play for tomorrow night, it's a really fun conversation to format that show. Okay? So now, Jeremy, I'm going to give you my best attempt. Jack is back here. This is what I expect to happen tomorrow night. And in the end, I'll answer your question, okay?
Okay.
I think we start with the awesome Jungle Boy entrance with Luchasaurus, because that's the match, right? Them and Private Parties tomorrow, I believe.
Yes, I think so.
Yes. You start with that. You do Jade in the middle. Main event, Mox and Garcia. And this is what this is my current status on where they're going to do a Punk. Moxley wins. Heels come in, put the boots to Moxley and Kingston, okay? Out comes Darby and Sting. Because they've kept those things linked. Last night they did it again with Kingston and Moxley and Darby and Sting. So then you have a moment where the baby faces have kicked ass. You got Sting, Darby, Kingston and Punk. Sorry, Kingston and Moxley in the ring. Couple of personality. And I think you go off the air with these four dudes standing in the center ring, Punk walking in to Kingston, face-to-face with Moxley, face-to-face with Sting, and then finally sort of disrespectfully looking down at Darby, putting him on, like, you know, patting him on the chest or pointing at him, whatever it may be.
and you leave it in this kind of dynamic of, holy shit, which of those super matches are we going to get? I think Darby's the match. But I think they're aware that to keep Moxley in this game, to me, he's most suited as, like, not a heel, but a definite wild man. You know, like a solo act. And, you know, Kingston, he has loyalty too, so that's different. But and I think that's what that promo is about. I think Darby's still the match. But after looking at the things they've set up for tomorrow night, my conclusion is that Punk will not open. I think you're going to go off epic AEW's Avengers almost, all standing there waiting and Punk staring at each and every one of them. You know, that's what I'm currently expecting. So there you go.
What do you think the Punk debut, how do you think it plays out, Jack?
I don't want to cop out here. I like Joseph's idea because when I first heard, I do, buddy. I do. Because I like how it just paints the picture visually of look at everything CM Punk can do in this company now. Everything from the youngster Darby Allin to friggin' 67-year-old Sting. like, look at all the stuff Punk can do now that he's here. And Punk kind of looks at all of them and is like, oh, yeah, okay. All of this is going to happen just in due time. I just, for whatever reason, I cannot talk myself into them waiting until the end of the show for Punk, even a 1-hour show.
Right.
I mean, I get where Tony could sit back there and be like, as they're chanting CM Punk from start to finish in that United Center, being like, that's fine because you're going to get him at the end. Like, you're going to get him at the end. But you can't, it's unfair to do to the other talent on that show. It's not fair to send like Jade out there. For Jade and Hogan out there for their match while they're chanting CM Punk. That's not fair to do to them. I'm leaning towards Punk opens the show. Like they just open and go, here you go. And he's going to go out there and talk. And then at the end, he'll come out again. Like you'll get Punk twice tomorrow.
Really?
Probably. You'll probably get Punk twice. Maybe. I just, in the grand scheme, I think it's unfair to do to the other talent.
Well, it's unfair. Yeah, I do get that. Definitely. I guess. And Jeremy, you can comment this up. I just, when I looked at what they've booked, the is if you start with Punk, I don't think the rest of that stuff packs enough of a punch to like keep that momentum, frankly. And you may say it doesn't need to. Saturday night main event approach, right? Put the best stuff first. But like, it looks standard Rampage on paper, right? Like, do you really want to do Punk and then just be like, anyway, on with this? I love Private Party, but it isn't. I don't know. There's such a unique dynamic to this, and there's going to be such a mystique in the air. I think, you know, I was talking to the Power Confirmed show on our Fleet Week show last night on Patreon/TheDistraction. And, you know, he said it. He was like, there's going to be an energy, man, an uncertainty. You got to let it build. And that's where I'm kind of at right now. Jeremy, what do you think?
I think that I still like the idea of him opening the show. I get what you guys are saying. And I do like your pitch on the close there, Joseph, because you get four just like great visuals, like right going off the air like that. You get the four individual stare downs and then the one like big stare down as well. So really you get like five like great action shots that you can just post everywhere. But I still like the idea of it just starting the show with him, come out, let him do whatever he wants. I understand it might not be fair to the talent. Like, okay, you got to follow that. You follow that up with Lucha, Jurassic Express against Private Party. That's going to be a good match, right? Like, that's going to be a good match. The crowd will be into it. They love Jungle Boy and everything. So the crowd will still be into that. You do Jade. I think we all kind of expect that to be pretty short anyway. And like the crowd will get re-energized again for Moxley because they love Moxley. And then maybe, like Jack said, then you also close the show with him as well. So you book it with Punk.
So that could be a deal where Punk cuts a promo generally about coming back.
Yeah.
And then he signs off with something like, I'll see you all later. And then you shoot the angle with a Darby. Like, because the other version of what I suggested is you do the exact same angle, but instead the other guys brawl through the people. So then Darby's all alone in the ring and the people know, like, oh shit, this means Punk's coming. Yeah. And then you hit this. Honestly, man, we're going to have fun with playing out different scenarios here. The biggest thing I would say to our audience, which, believe it or not, is apparently sizable. I can't believe, like, we've got to enjoy this moment, man. Like, this is going to be such a surreal episode.
I can't put my head around it.
We're gonna all sit there and just look at the clock like, oh god, oh god.
I think I was just telling my wife this morning. Like, I can't wrap my head around the fact that in 24 hours, and I don't. It's the weirdest feeling because we've seen so much wild shit in wrestling, especially in the last decade. I cannot wrap my head around the fact that on AEW's, you could consider it its B show tomorrow night at 10 o'clock, CM Punk is returning to professional wrestling. It's blowing my mind, and I don't know why. And I'm curious to see how I feel tomorrow, like when I wake up and as the day goes on, like what I'm like numb in a way. I don't know how to explain it.
And it's so much more, for whatever reason, it's so much more striking as its own thing on this Rampage than it would have been if it was All Out, because it is literally, even though it's a TV show, it feels like an event invented for Punk's prison.
Yeah.
They have an
event. Basically, yeah.
Right? Exactly. Like, It's such a unique combination of factors. And like, look, here's the crazy thing about this is, as far as talent, an AEW fan, I'm way more excited for what Brian brings than Punk.
Yeah.
I'm moderately excited for Punk. I'm not going crazy for it, but I know I'm going to go crazy when it happens because it's a spectacle they've built here. Like, it's just, I don't know, man. This is one of those ones where you get some popcorn and you're just like, what's going to happen? I don't know. You've got an hour.
I mean, I've thought of everything. I have literally thought of this, not to like talk myself into it. I've thought of, you send Punk out there, right? And really screw with the people, because you have pushed this CM Punk narrative, right? That this is his night. Mm. You send Punk out there. He grabs the microphone. He puts the microphone to his lips. Hit Final Countdown.
Yeah, I think this
Punk look at Brian. Have Punk look at Brian like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah. So my
doing both on the same night.
There's a version of that that I'm playing with where it's like, do you, this, okay? So you do something with Punk, he opens the show or whatever. And imagine having the balls for Darby to go out of a mic and be like, the best in the world, and Final Countdown is the people would lose it, right?
No, like, could you imagine like Punk gets in and says, you've been saying, you little shit, you want the best in the world. And what if Darby looks him straight in the eyes and goes, I wasn't talking about you.
Yeah.
And then I was talking about him.
I don't think when this was first announced, I did think that, like, all right, maybe it's a swerve and you bring out Brian. It's like, the people aren't going to be mad if Brian comes out, right? They'll be disappointed. It's a Chicago crowd. They're expecting Punk, but like, you're going to be mad if Daniel Bryan comes out. It's similar audiences, similar fans of who likes these guys. So I think you could do that. I think we're just going to get Punk straight up. Look, if they got Brian and they just decide, let's just unload right here. Let's just bring them both out. We're not going to wait until Arthur Ashe to bring Brian. We're just going to steal everything. The night before SummerSlam, I think they're going to wait though, because they're already going to steal everything with Punk. Yeah, you have a chance to do it twice when you bring in Brian. So I think they're going to wait on Brian and just, they've already won this weekend. Even though SummerSlam's this weekend, AEW has won this weekend.
Oh, just the balls of the balls of Tony Khan on WWE's. Well, for this year, it is their biggest weekend. WrestleMania wasn't. Yeah. This is WWE's biggest weekend of the year. For Tony Khan to say, all right, the day before, I'm going to bring CM Punk back to wrestling. You guys are done. You're done.
Dude, this is going to, I think we're not ready. When Bleacher Report clips that thing and tweets it, I think people are going to lose their minds that don't watch wrestling anymore. And that doesn't. And to be clear, before anyone goes any further, I don't think that means next week's Dynamite's going to do some crazy rating either. I just think there are wrestling fans out there going to be like, wait, what, CM Punk? Like, what? Like, because he is, there's a mystique to Punk in wrestling because of the way he left, right? And to have him come back in Chicago in this fashion, it's just, it's special. You got to enjoy the ride.
And to that point, it immediately gives AEW credibility because they were the ones to lure him back. So exactly. Even if you're someone who's been disconnected on the outside looking in, now you look at this AEW, maybe you knew little about it. Maybe you knew nothing about it. Yeah. But just the fact that they were able to lure CM Punk out of wrestling, that's going to say something to you.
Yeah. No, it's an awareness thing. Like, everyone looks directly at the rating, and I get why. It's very important. I'm not one of these guys that can tell you it's not. But what I will say is there is something to be said for people just knowing what your product is. And when you add Punk and Brian within a month of each other, that's a big thing in that regard. You know, people are quickly going to get an idea of what's going on. So, I don't know, man. What a crazy time we have ahead of us. I mean, it's already crazy. This next month, good God, seatbelts on, it's going to be wild.
It's going to be a wild ride over the next month for sure. With Punk, Jack, I think you mentioned it. Like they built this event around them. Like they were just supposed to tape. They were supposed to tape the show last night in Houston. They're just going to tape Rampage and then air it on Friday, I'm pretty sure. And they're, you know, a month ago, they're like, hey, United Center, First Dance, they got this special and everything. And they've done all this without like just actively saying, hey, CM Punk is going right to be here, right? Like it's just all Tony said, like, you know what's going to happen. Everyone said, you know what's going to happen. Punk's been doing media all week. That's the other thing. They timed this very well of not only with, all right, it's the weekend of SummerSlam, so like there's a lot of wrestling buzz in general just because SummerSlam weekend. Heels debuted this past Sunday, so Punk's been doing.
Sorry to hear that.
I heard it's good. You're not going to watch it, Jack?
Absolutely not. That thing looks like a big pile of dog shit. My I will not God. Be doing it.
My God, Jack.
Absolutely.
There goes our short game.
Yeah, thanks, Jack.
I am not doing that.
He's been doing media all week, and a lot of the, I don't know if they're told not to ask wrestling questions. What it is, like, it's been a lot of like heel centric stuff. Some people have asked, you know, what are you doing? He's going to avoid it, and he's done a good job avoiding it. He did mention, like, he talked about the Summer of Punk in one interview, and this is where, like, I don't think Punk, because he's been out the game for so long, he's not going to get the credit he probably deserves for like how his brain works with this thing. Joseph, you mentioned a lot of like, he probably knows like he needs to, like, he's going to get the pop and everything, but like being heel is his best work, right? Like that's when he does the best stuff. He mentioned with the Summer Punk, like, all right, it leaked that I signed with WWE, but what if I just stay in ROH for a little bit? It's more or less leaked that he's going to be there tomorrow. So how can he use that against, and maybe this is where it is like a thing of Brian, of like, all right, everyone knows Punk's going to be there. We don't think Brian's going to be there. So what if they bring him in as well? Like, do they just, I don't know about if overthinking it is the right term, but do they just try to go in a different direction that we're not even like thinking about because everyone knows he's going to be there?
I think this is the big factor. And you mentioned my kind of talk of a heel turn. It's like, if you look at Punk's career, he loves doing stuff that kind of makes you go, hang on a second, what's going on here? And that may sound awful cliche, but a lot of wrestlers operate within a certain playbook. And if you look at some of Punk's most significant moments, and Jack can speak to him better than I. Like, I mentioned it before, Summer of Punk, you know, where with the incredible, where like it was like a farewell match and then he won the belt and he signed the WWE kind of like that was to, that's peak Punk philosophy of whatever you think I'm going to give you, be prepared for me to shock you and make you feel a certain way about it, you know? So he could do any, and look, I'm not saying he's going to come out and be like, this city sucks. Like, he's smart. But I do think there's a chance he subverts people's expectations. Like, I just think he isn't someone that's going to come out and do, like, the traditional deal, in my view. Unless he hasn't got, you know, unless he doesn't care what he does initially. We'll see. I doubt that, but we'll see. I don't know. That's the big factor, I think, in terms of what he brings. Like, you're right, Jeremy. His wrestling brain is, I mean, he knows how to get over it. He knows how to do, like, stuff that really lives with people for a long time. It's interesting.
Jack?
Yeah, I mean,
Jack's thinking he's going to come out and just confront Tall Paul.
Jack looks very nervous about this. He looks like I'm really scared, Jack.
I don't know what the hell to expect. Because you brought up a good point, Joseph, in that Punk is very good at giving people the opposite of what they think they're going to get.
Right.
And now he's linked up with a company that likes to shock people. So, like, mixing that together, I almost feel in a way, and I can't pinpoint it, like it's not going to be just as simple as CM Punk showing his face tomorrow. Something is going to happen that, like, I think we don't see coming. And
I tend to agree. Yeah.
And I do agree. Like, maybe not tomorrow, but I think in the initial run here, very sooner rather than later, I think that heel CM Punk is the way to go, which is why I think I told you guys on the show, I have no problem with CM Punk becoming AEW champion sooner rather than later, if it's heel Punk. Like, if Punk 3 months from now is AEW champion, I have no problem with it if it's heel Punk, because I think he'd be able to tell that story masterfully and coming in and being like, I took this company over in 3 months. What is this?
Yeah, especially with Hangman. And this is one thing I do want to say. Everyone that's a fan of AEW now, this stuff, have an open mind in terms of these guys being in the title picture. you know, because like, just because WWE guys, which these, you know, these two aren't even that, but you know what, that's what they're going to be framed as online, right? It doesn't have to necessarily be the stuff that killed WCW or hurt TNA. No. It's a case by case matter. And if you want to put Daniel Bryan in your title scene or CM Punk, no, that is not criminal. You know, these are two of the great performers of all time. The idea to me of Punk manipulating Hangman is one of the most incredible angles they can do it. And that's why my pitch of him staring down those four baby faces, I love the idea of Punk being a baby face initially, and Mox and Kingston should not trust that dude one bit. Nor should Sting or Darby, because his reputation speaks for itself as an on-screen and off-screen character. And it's this idea of, this is our promotion, you know, and that's like, to me, they're the matches. I get why people want the MJF match because of the promos. Him as a villain against those guys, I think he's just, that's electric.
I saw last night a few people automatically, as soon as that main event went off the air, I saw a bunch of people jump to, well, we know who MJF's opponent is, and like allude, like CM Punk. I'm like, well, hold on, wait a minute. Like, we're going to debut Punk Friday under this Darby premise. Like, well, what that's got to be the match for All Out. If it is them, if they are sticking with Punk Darby, I don't think they're going to do that on Dynamite. They're going to do that in Chicago at All Out. Like, what, so how are you getting to this MJF thing?
I'm fine. I think everyone gets to MJF because, like, well, the feud against Jericho has now concluded and it's done. I don't think this is totally over between Inner Circle and Pinnacle. I think MJF and Sammy is going to be the All Out match. That's where I think, you know, they did the match on the Dynamite a few weeks ago and MJF won, but like, you can run that back. Since then, Sammy's beaten Spears. I'm sure he's picked up wins on Dark and stuff, but like, Sammy's gained a lot of momentum. He won the what was the Stadium Stampede before or after the MJF match? I think it was after.
After.
So I think the MJF match was after. Yeah.
Yes, it was. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think you run that back on All Out though. I think that's where it goes. It's like Sammy looking for revenge for Jericho and everything. I think that's the way they go for
with
All
Sammy
Out.
Winning, I assume, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they got a lot of eggs in the Sammy basket.
Because again, Sammy MJF is something you could do whatever you want with those two, because 2-3 years from now in AEW, that's a main event world title program. Yeah. Sammy MJF, like those guys.
MJF can lose, be fine. Like,
yeah,
theoretically, exactly. Either of them could lose and they're going to be fine because, like I said, 2-3 years. It was like when they ran the MJF Jungle Boy match, when people, as they watched it, they didn't care who won or lost. They were watching that saying 2-3 years from now, this is the main event world title match.
I have to say, Jungle Boy's development is such that like, he's accelerating his own timeline, you know, like he's at a point, Jungle Boy, where I think he's the guy that has to beat Miro eventually. Cause like, I think people need him to win something, man. Like he's not only is he beloved, but his work is so much better now. Like, how much more physical is his stuff now? There's so much more crisp.
Not he's just there, that, man. But last Wednesday on Dynamite, and it was just a small sample, but the sample size was so much better than anything before. I said, this kid's starting to feel comfortable on the microphone. Yes. And if he's starting to feel comfortable on the mic, forget it. Just shut it down.
It was a great moment.
If he's going to get comfortable cutting promos like that, he's going to put the whole package together, and then everyone's in trouble.
There was a great moment with that, Jay. You and I both mentioned this. So he's talking Jungle Boy is, and he's naturally just a shy personality, right? And I think that's partly why people love him, by the way. I mean, that's an old school thing. It works still. He's proven that. And like, Jungle Boy's talking, he comes behind him and like puts his hands on his shoulders as if to sort of chill him out. And you could see, dude, Christian, you can really sense the impact he's had on Jungle Boy. And that's the big thing. When I talk about Jungle Boy needing a big win, Christian's going to give him that win. Like, that's inevitable. So there's so much more. There's so many more. Like, here. And what I have faith with AEW more than anything else, and you know, they're not perfect by any means, but are very good at like giving everyone a little bit. You know, so like Lance Archer is a guy who is in his mid-40s, and he's a horse, and he's a guy you heat up, and he loses the big match. But he won at home against Moxley in a win that, like, that'll be his legacy probably in AEW. And that's fine, by the way. Like, they're good at giving guys those little moments. With that in mind, in fear of hijacking the show, Jeremy, I'm sure you have super chats to do these before you go any further. But We need to talk about Kingston and Miro. But first, do the super chats, my friend.
Okay. Kate says, what is Velveteen Dream's at Distraction NXT? I think that's what it is, right? Chris Mueller says, thanks, guys. That was fun. Question, how do you think Punk and Cabana will coexist in AEW? I think it'll be fine.
It's a really big locker room.
Honestly, yeah. That's none of your business. Don't worry about it. And I mean that in the politest way possible. That's none of our business. Like that's the least of our worries.
It's a very big group. So you can really have Punk, like, you can have him in a clique of guys fine without affecting anyone. You know, there's like 100 guys backstage, man. It'll be cool. Like, it'll be good.
Christian Knight says Punk should open the show with the Bulls intro before Cult of Personality plays.
Holy shit. I thought the same thing last night. I swear on my unborn child. I thought they should play Serious to get the crowd on. And then, yes.
I mean, sure. If you just want to completely rip off what we do in BPW, they should.
Yeah, that's fair. It's probably the best version of it. Like, if he's going to start the show, dude, the lights being down and having that playing and then cutting to Cult of Personality with the static, like.
Yeah.
That'll be one of the most incredible openings of a show ever. Like, that'll be outrageous.
Drew Nicholas says, a lapsed WWE fan, friend of mine, watched last night in anticipation of Punk and said, holy shit, this was fun and felt nothing like WWE. He's sticking around. He was done with wrestling. I think they got a lot of, I don't know what the ratings are. They'll be out in like 15 minutes from Brandon Thurston. But I think they got a lot of people last night on the idea that he might show up last night leading into First Dance. I didn't buy into him showing up, but there was the anticipation that maybe he's there and then he does the cameo appearance there. And then people guarantee know he's going to show up at Rampage, even if he's not, or even if they basically all but said he's showing up at Rampage. But I did see a lot of people think that.
That'd be interesting if that has an impact on the ratings. I don't expect it to, but that'd be interesting.
Kevin Seed says, heel Punk takes the belt from Hangman, then MJF takes the belt from him, maybe a double or nothing. Their timeline on this stuff is very long. I mean, look
I'm
how long
rushing
this
with. I have to say, like, there was a time where I was kind of had penciled in MJF for a similar timeline. I actually don't think there's like any rush for him at all because he like 3 matches a year. So, great feud heel, you know, like you do programs of conflicts. So I don't think there's a rush in that group. I don't disagree by any means. He could definitely be the champ next year easily.
John Neve says, it won't be as simple as just CM Punk showing up. He's showing up with Danielson to challenge Darby and Sting, who's the best tag team in the world.
I think there's something to be said for that. I really do. Like, Sting is on the ball when you talk about these big matches. He wrestled 2.0 last night and took a table bump.
Did he? Punk, he no-sold it, Joseph. That upsets
me. I have to say this, and I'm sure you have more super chats. That... Listen, I know people think we're getting paid by Tony Khan. I wish we were, but example of like how you treat legends. Because a dad and his son could have watched that match and both had a blast watching it from completely different perspectives. And Sting was treated with such grace. Like, that was beautiful, man. I loved that shit.
Guys, if I missed your super chat, let me know. I think I got everything, though. Yeah, Louis Dangor sucks. He was really the only one upset. I thought everyone else seemed like they enjoyed it and they thought it was great. So there you go. Just don't agree with Louis. He's terrible. I thought you were going to say something, Jack. I thought you were going to bury Louis Dangor.
Well, no, we're on the subject of Punk. I just got a message from our good friend of the show, Confirmed Shoot, the star of the Fleet Week. Did you? I've been off Twitter most of the day. I was doing stuff. Did you hear these Roman Reigns comments on CM Punk?
It was just posted in our Skype chat, but I have not listened to them.
All right, let me listen to it really quick.
Okay.
Jackson, live correspondent here.
It seems like this is the bulk of it is CM Punk wasn't as good or over as John Cena. He didn't move the needle like The Rock. That seems to be like the gist.
That's what I just heard. Jesus Christ.
I mean, he did not move the needle like The Rock.
Yeah, he didn't. Literally only two people in history moved the needle like The Rock.
Yeah, I don't know. The whole conversation. I don't know. There's dynamic because like I think Roman probably feels like a lot of the heat he got from Punk talking about, you know, when he told the story about keep Roman strong and that stuff. Like
I think a lot of that, like, it's just a weird dynamic with those dudes. I don't know, man. They're both great pro wrestlers. I don't really care. It's fine.
I'm conflicted because, like, I really do respect Roman's lack of giving a shit about anything.
Yeah, he's a real top guy. He's a real top guy.
My man doesn't care about a goddamn thing anymore these days.
No, he's just doing his thing, and like he's like, let me do it or don't. I'm gonna go. Like he's just, he knows the leverage he has, and that's something that we're gonna see more and more. But am I able to talk about Miro Eddie Kingston yet?
Bud Ryan said, enjoy the distraction of Big Three. We're gonna win. We certainly are. Excited for tomorrow. There you go. Sorry I missed that one. Bud, there was a little lag in the super chat, so dude, I thought I missed a few.
Miro is gonna kick the shit.
It's gonna roll.
Eddie is gonna make like one comeback and the people are gonna just go fucking berserk. You know that, right? Like he's gonna like throw like one strike back and the people are gonna come with that. And like the selling in that match, good lord, dude. That's gonna be special.
We're gonna get one of those moments where right before Miro's about to send Eddie to the seventh circle of hell, Eddie's gonna flip him off, face full of blood. Him off, like just do it. And Miro's gonna friggin' murder him.
Do we think All Out for that match?
That's what
I think so. They're doing this one to appease me since Moxley and Tanahashi is off the table. So thank you, Tony.
Okay, so All Out is looking like what? So we got Kenny and Christian. Let's pencil in. Am I cutting up a lot, guys?
You've been cutting off. Like
I'm sorry to hear that. so Kenny and Christian, Punk and Darby, we assume, like a cage match. Kingston and Miro. What else we got on there?
Paul White, QT Marshall. What the hell is wrong with you people?
Oh, yeah. Good point.
Don't forget about Paul White and QT
Marshall. Britt and Chris Statlander.
Yeah, that looks like they're going. That hasn't been confirmed, but certainly looks like that's the way they're going on that.
It's already a long pack and Andrade.
MJF and Sammy?
I think MJF and Sammy. I think you're getting some sort of match with those guys on the card. Maybe it's a six man MJF and FTR against Sammy and Santana and Ortiz. Maybe it's something like that. I think you're getting some type of pinnacle inner circle match on this card.
We're obviously thinking a women's battle royal with Ruby.
Oh yes, that's all
debuting, right?
Yep.
Ruby being the wild card.
I mean, it's gonna be a long show. It's always a long Joker.
Yes, it's a 4-hour show.
Yeah,
always.
It's always a 4-hour show.
Okay, I mean, I think we've had a conversation a lot about the arcs.
Yeah, I don't know where does Mox where's Mox fitting in all of this? There you go. Thurston says Dynamite did 975 last night. The challenge is back, baby. That's right.
Where does Moxley fit in?
Yeah.
Ishii.
That'd be fun.
Because they had a classic in the G1 a couple of years back. Because the New Japan thing's completely gone silent, right?
Right.
He called out all of New Japan and there's just been no follow-up.
I can live with Ishii. I mean, I wanted Tanahashi. It doesn't seem like that's happening right now, but I can live with Ishii. Suzuki's going to be around in late September. Just give me that match again.
John Moxley versus Billy Ospreay.
No.
That's very possible.
Oh, I was joking.
It's very possible.
Though. It is, but like.
I think that now that we've established all that Billy is in the United States, like this is where I do think we're not long for seeing him on Dynamite or All Out or one of those shows.
The thing is, they need a guy that Moxley's going to beat because Moxley needs that match. That's why Ishii makes sense, right? He beat Moose too, so like he has some bars. Like it just makes sense. He can easily lose that match, Ishii, and it won't hurt him at all. So
yeah, I don't think Ospreay's losing either. He ain't coming in there to really lose. He's still technically, or he thinks he's their champion and stuff. So I don't know if that match makes a ton of sense because you don't want this outsider coming in and beating Moxley.
Trying to figure out where. That's a good question though. Shit, I mean, I swear we do this every time we're together. It's like the depth of this roster is bananas that we're sitting here going, well, what does John Moxley do on one of the biggest pay-per-views of the year? And we're not like distraught about it. We're like, oh, well, got to find a spot for the old lad.
Yes, it's unlike any roster ever because it's like WWE's roster without a brand split. Like it's 100. Like they've got like 20 guys that they feel like important. And that's something worth talking about too. I like last night's match. like a real feat for them to give that some like build one night before on Dark is not ideal. It was like, wow, they built this one, you know, like it's not great, but I hope Rampage helps with that, hopefully.
Sergio in the chat says Jay White. Jay White is, I don't know if he's gonna be back in, he's still in the United States. He's working the shows later on as well. So
don't maybe. Get my hopes up.
Jay White would be really good.
Jay White would be the
greatest. you can actually have Mox win that match and just take the never open weight title because that they pass that thing around like it's candy any.
That's true. Sean mentions the men of the year Archer thing as something for Mox. And like, I have to say, I have no idea what that is. What was that angle?
That segment sucked.
I agree.
That came across to me like, all right, we did that deal where we had to like, you know, Lance got the poor title ripped from him so bad that we got to find something for the big man to do because he's awesome. And they just threw that together. I was just like, what?
Where was you at on Dan Lambert's promo?
I like Dan Lambert. I think there's a place for him, but not, it's weird. Not like, not every week. Not like they did in TNA. Like, I don't want to see Lambert out there screaming on the microphone every week or maybe every 2 weeks for that matter. But every once in a while, bringing Danny in. And the thing is, I look at it from a different perspective. Like, you have a lot of wrestling fans who don't pay attention to MMA. They looked at Andre Arlovsky and Junior Dos Santos and were like, whoa, UFC fighters. I looked at it as, okay, here's dudes who just keep getting their asses kicked consistently. Yeah. They're retired. They're washed up. Like they, even in a pro wrestling ring, they do not come across as a threat to me. This is stupid.
Phil like, Brits and I.
Bring Francis Ngannou into that ring or Jorge Masvidal or something like that. Okay. All right. We're cooking with gas, but like not JDS on Arlovsky. Like, come on now. 10 that years was, ago. Okay.
He's a good talker, but that felt like a really try hard promo. You know, it's like, he went out there, like, I'm going to cut this great promo. And he was shouting from word one. And it was just like, oh man, the content sucked.
And then Jeremy, I don't know, you get this too, like trying to present JDS as a heel is the dumbest decision in the
I don't, Joe, I don't know what they were trying
he's
to,
the nicest guy ever.
He is. I don't know if they were trying to present him as a heel or he was just like muscle because like he brought just like two big guys. Yeah, I think that's more of what it was. Dude, Archer could have came in and knocked both of these guys out. They ain't got chins, so
just not getting carried away.
Dan Lambert told Archer to like shoot elbow me. If he would have shoot elbow JDS and Arlovsky, they're done. They're cooked, man.
We're definitely getting a promo next week where Scorpio's like bringing up the 34 in MMA, right? Like everyone knows I'm a karate master. Like we're getting that, definitely. Right?
Definitely.
So then who's her partner? Jack.
For what?
Jack. Bud Murph.
I was wondering how long it was going to take.
Bud Murph and Lance Archer, his tag team, Jack, line it up.
Yeah, but how did but then buddy, then you're taking him away from Malakai Black, and we can't do that. Oh, guys, come on! Holy shit.
I can do that.
Malakai Black, he is going to murder poor little Anderson next week.
Yeah, I loved that whole thing. I love that in one match they've got him to a point where we're all terrified.
I love how Arn in the promo was basically. It's basically like, all right, I know I'm sending my kid to his own funeral, but it's just got to happen. You know, it's just something that we got to do.
That's an interesting one in terms of, like, I wonder if he gives Brock anything in that match. Does he just squash him flat in like 5 seconds?
No. Squash him flat.
Yeah. No, he should squash him.
Oh, I want to see like a spine buster in there somewhere. I want to see it, man. I'm sorry. Can't help myself.
Should squash him.
Going to kill this poor kid.
Okay. Are we going to talk about SummerSlam now?
We will,
apparently we have to do SummerSlam.
Yeah, we got to quickly talk on SummerSlam.
I could do that.
Luis says Braun right back for Dan Lambert. Oh, what happened with Jack?
I don't know. He explained himself, but I couldn't hear anything he said. So I don't know.
I apologize. I think I was talking over him. Jack's the reason we're here to talk about SummerSlam. I don't know what to say about SummerSlam.
I think it'll be a good show.
2.0 just got officially signed by AEW.
That's awesome. Good for them guys, man.
Yeah,
they've rocked it. They've absolutely rocked it.
They said on their podcast, they were like, it took a lot of balls for, you know, straight off of NXT television where they weren't really used and just come in and, hey, you're going to face Moxley and Kingston your first night. And now you're going to face Sting and Darby in a tornado match in your next appearance. Like, it really did take a lot of balls for Tony Khan to do that. Like, people knew how good these guys were and everything, but again, they were never really they weren't seen in NXT. They weren't used. And they just immediately put them. It's not like Aleister Black comes in. You get it. Andrade comes in. You get it. Like, these guys just weren't featured guys in NXT. And they came in, and it's like, we're going to immediately put them in a top spot against top guys.
I have to give love to Cheese Knight, who said Suzuki. Suzuki being Archer's partner against the fake MMA guys would be perfect. That's a that is a great call. Yeah, I like that.
Yes.
All right. And then the next Dynamite, Cincinnati, you do Moxley and Suzuki. There you go.
I don't know if I would make the trip. Oh man, that would be a tough one for me to.
You would make the trip. Yes, you would make the trip.
Like Tanahashi, you sold me on Tanahashi doing that one, and like I would definitely make the trip for Tanahashi. Suzuki. A little less, but probably still I would.
Dude, the Suzuki entrance live.
I know. That's what really sells me. It's like, I know the match will be good. Like, what really, especially if I don't get the Mox entrance at All Out. Like, if I don't get the Mox entrance at All Out, I'll make the trip to Cincinnati just for the Mox Suzuki back-to-back entrance.
Oh, yeah. That would be incredible. The aura. Oh, my God. Yeah, it's perfect.
All right. SummerSlam. Joseph, do you know what's on this card?
Yeah, I know mostly. I think, look, I honestly, I'm not going to do a bit here. I think it'll be a very good show. I don't see any of the big stuff being bad, being serious. Like, I think Cena and Roman will have a big epic. I don't know how much I will personally like it, because I think Cena has a formula, and I don't think he's going to try and get out of it after a couple of years out of the ring. But I think they'll have, an objectively good match. I think Bob and Bill are going to kick the shit out of each other for 3 minutes, and I'm fine with that. I think the woman... we know how they put those multi-womans together. It'll be fine. Bianca and Banks is going to be excellent. The first time, I loved that match. And I think Edge and Seth's another one. Like, I'm going to guarantee I want to see it particularly, but like, they're going to have a very good match. Edge and Seth are not going to go and stink the place. Like, and then you add, the tag match is AJ and Omos, Randy and Riddle, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, he is, but the other three guys, that should be a good spectacle too. I think it'll be a really good show with a really good crowd. I hope that, they make the decisions their audience wants them to make, so that we don't have one of those situations where the crowd is resentful and stuff. Because there are a couple matches, obviously, Elektra and Eva being the main one, where you just go, I really hope they don't send those women out there to die. But I think it'll be a very good show.
Jack? You excited for SummerSlam? This is why you're here. You're WWE guy, Jack Crosby. You come on for the big WWE shows.
I will tune into the Roman Cena match. So what time? About 11 o'clock? I should turn on Peacock. Well, no, probably like 10:30, because it'll take a half hour for it to work. So probably somewhere around 10:30, I should log on to Peacock and then try getting in there. No, I don't know. I might turn it on Saturday, because I was going to shell out the $80 or whatever for Pacquiao Spence. But when Spence got pulled, I like your Dennis Ugas, fine boxer, but I don't think worth the 70, 80 bucks or whatever the pay-per-view is going to be. So I'm not doing that now. So I might turn on SummerSlam Saturday night if I'm home and not doing anything. I might watch it, because it's still SummerSlam. It might be a fun show, even if you don't watch the weekly programs like I don't anymore. So I'd say it's likely that I'm going to turn it on at the start and kind of see, because Roman Cena is intriguing. Mm-hmm. Sasha Bianca should be good. Edge and Seth, again, I don't think you're going to put those two in the ring and get a bad match. The only thing that could be bad is if they decide to turn it into a Shawn Michaels special.
I could see that.
But I could see
the crowd
that.
People still like it, right?
Yeah, the they'll still go nuts. Like, and
yeah,
you'll get, that'll be the match that gets to this is awesome chant and stuff like that. Just because, again, you never thought, Edge against some of these guys, you never thought you'd see. So you never thought you'd see, just a few years ago, you never thought you'd see Edge versus Seth Rollins. So I don't know. It should be a fight, because they're treating this like WrestleMania. Because I don't think they like doing what they did in Tampa. I think they hated it.
What do we think in terms of, do we think there's a Big E cash in this weekend?
And if it's on Goldberg or if it's on Lashley, I don't think he's cashing on Roman.
Okay, what if he comes out before the Bob and Bill match even happens and adds himself to the match? And you get a triple threat of those dudes just smashing into each other.
I'd be okay with that.
I think that would really pop the people live. It's like a much more interesting match for them in that case. And we'll be protected in a triple threat. So, I think the Saint do that. I will say, if Goldberg beats Bob and they just cash in on him,
that's dumb.
Yeah, like, I don't want to sit and say I care, but like, I think that'd be really lame, to be honest.
That's a bad way for Big E to do it. Like, if you have a face that has that, especially somebody like Big E, I don't want him, like, backdooring his way into this title win, especially as his first title win.
Right?
Like, that's a heel move. I get it. You're going to do it with a heel. But, like, for a baby face, especially one as beloved as Big E, like, that's one where I want this man, like, looking face-to-face with his opponent and, like, winning the title in a legit way. The only, like, sort of issue with this is, like, they've been teasing the Big E kind of Roman stuff. And the Big E shows up whenever Paul Heyman's around. Like, I think there's still a little bit of mileage out of that. And I don't know if you need to do the cash-in this week, but it would certainly pop the people. And I think, like, not even having Big E on this show, big miss. Big miss not having him on this show.
Yeah, but that's what they do, because we talked about this a month ago. They see the briefcase as a shortcut to the top, so they don't think they have to actually do any of the booking. They just go, well, he's got that ticket, so, you know, we'd have to take him there. He'll get there on his own, and that's, to me, that's been a problem for years. But Big E's over and like, he's popped enough. He'll be fine. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I agree with you. Big E should win it in some sort of sincere fashion, I feel. He's a hero.
I'm still rubbed the wrong way that he's not going to beat Roman in Dallas. I hate that. I just hate it. I hate it, because that's the only way. That's the logical way to go. I mean, these were the two guys, but this is the WWE match. You have the short term memories. These are the two guys that Vince McMahon and Triple H got into an argument over years ago over who should be the top guy in the company in the future. Mm-hmm. While they were both in FCW, there was an argument over those two. And anyone with a brain would call back to that and have Big E say, yeah. But remember, there were people that wanted me over you.
All right.
And they're just going to just throw it all away.
I mean, that stuff isn't really there. That's not really their speciality, right? Like, it is what it is.
I mean, they can't even do this properly with Jinder and Drew. Like, that's an easy story to tell. That whatever you think of this program, and I don't think it should be on SummerSlam or anything, but, like, it's an easy story to tell between these two, right?
It shouldn't be, and it should have been when Drew was the WWE champion.
Yeah.
Like, this is dumb as shit. This should have happened when Drew was the champion.
That's the other match that, while it's mechanically obviously going to be fine, that's the one that I would put alongside Elektra and Eva in terms of the people could lose it. Like, I could definitely see the people, Jinder and Drew, you know? And you don't want that for Drew, because Drew's your top babyface. So good luck in that game. That's one of those things where I kind of circle it and go, place that correctly, because otherwise you're sending Drew out there to die. Not in terms of having a match that's flat with the people. That's a real problem, I think, with that one. But we'll see. I mean, I don't know if I'll see, but someone will see. Samoa Joe's back this weekend. I'm excited about that. Like, I know Jack's not going to do the CrossFit, but I'm fired up.
Real quickly, before we get to the Sammy Joe, Becky this weekend, yay or nay, Jack?
Yes.
Joseph? How do you do it if she comes back?
I think you have to have her confront Bianca after she beats Sasha, because I think Bianca's going to beat Sasha again. But then I think you'd run into a serious problem of what the hell does, because from my understanding, let me see if I'm getting this right. It's sincere. I'm not asking to be an asshole. I don't watch the shows. Like, Bianca ran through Zelina, right? Or something like that. Ran through Carmella. Yeah. And the SmackDown women's roster is kind of low.
They've got Toni Storm and Liv Morgan, who they've actually given victories to, but then they're just not.
But didn't? Television. But didn't I just see that? Like, they put Toni on TV one week, and she hasn't been back since.
Yes.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. So that's what I would do. I'd have her beat Sasha again for the second time this year on a big stage. Then you have Becky come out and tell Bianca, all right, because you have to, like, you can't just have Bianca bulldozing these people and then going, oh, well, there's nothing left. So I'd probably just have her confront Bianca.
Joseph, yay or nay? And then if yay, how?
I would agree with the angle, but if I thought she was winning the match, Banks is going to win that match.
Okay.
I just think you've got to do something interesting. Like, because it's great having Bianca beat everyone, but, like, you know, like you just said it, Jack. Like, Sasha Banks is a huge star, man. Like, I don't think you just have her lose twice and be like, okay. Like, to me, that's not how I would do it. Like, this is a program I get years out of. The problem with that is, who the hell do you send her to it with on Raw? What does Becky do on Raw? Nikki ASH? Like, that ain't happening.
And if if you send her against Charlotte, the people are gonna shit on that in like 2 weeks. You cannot do that.
No, you can't do that. Do Charlotte.
They've poorly prepared for this moment, man. They really, honestly, like, there's so many pieces they could have in a better position. They just haven't used correctly. It's a real shame, honestly, for Becky. Like, she should be coming back to a hot division, and it's ice cold.
One of the biggest stars, male or female, in wrestling, and she is. Yeah. The credits, male or female, in all of wrestling, Becky Lynch is, and they just like, I don't know what to do. Could be bad. I don't know.
It's puzzling, man. I really don't.
Is there a chance, Joseph? You should love this. Rhea wins and Becky confronts Rhea.
I don't think it's a chance. I'd love it, but I don't think there's a chance it happens. The thing with the women's titles is, and this goes for all of the titles, is the SmackDown women's title at SummerSlam looks like a world title, right? Banks, Belair 2. That's a money match. That's a main event match. The other women's title match looks like an intercontinental title match, the equivalent of. That makes sense? Like, it's a mid-card match. Like, triple threat, who cares? Like, and that's where you run into these problems where, as much as I love Nikki as a talent, she doesn't feel like someone that could be a main event pay-per-view act, right? And that's what Becky is. And that's where you run, and I don't think Rhea does either right now, which is more booking, I think, than anything else. But I think... I don't know what the answer is either. You know, like Alexa's on this show and she's definitely not the answer in this form. So I don't know. I don't know what you do.
The saddest part of it all is just imagine how much of a non-problem this would be if Shayna Baszler were just used correctly. Then there is no issue. Then there's no issue here whatsoever with Becky. It's clear as day if Shayna Baszler is not just tossed to the side as some side act. That's long gone now.
Yeah, I don't know if Shayna Baszler is going to be on TV for the next six months.
Shayna didn't even need to hold the title for over a year from last WrestleMania. You could have taken it off her, and then when you knew Becky was coming back, slapped it back on Shayna. Just put it right back on her and say, okay, Becky's coming back soon, so here's what we're going to do. Nope.
It just feels like, I agree with that, but if it was like Rhea's circle, it's like Rhea should just be a bigger deal, man. Like, Rhea's got, like, star potential. Like, her and Becky should be a huge match, you know?
Didn't I see, like, at these live events, Rhea's getting some big reactions?
Dude, people love her, and her booking is awful from what I've seen, but people just like Rhea Ripley. She's cool, you know? It's over live. That should be a big match. I don't know if it is or not. People that watch the product would have a better way of saying it than I, but I don't know.
I don't think any match that they have, and, like, when it comes to, like, full-time performers, feels like a big match right now. Like, even if you do, like, you can do Becky and Sasha. That would probably feel like a big match. Becky, Bianca.
That's big, right?
Yeah, on the Raw side. And that's what I'm talking about. Like, I don't think any of those matches feel big.
No, I agree. And then that, from my core point, I guess, was it feels like a mid-card title over there, which is a shame because it doesn't have to be that way, right? They've got more than enough time. Asuka's off TV. Like,
that's what happens when you take your champion and. After you put the title on her, you've had her lose like three matches. She just lost on Raw. She got pinned by Rhea, and then she was in a tag team match, and then Rhea lost. Like, so no wonder the title doesn't feel like a big deal.
I don't know, man. I mean, like, it seems very simple, right? Like, they haven't done that to Bianca Belair, and she feels like a star. Seems simple enough to me, but it's there.
The people who don't lose, Roman feels like a star because he hasn't lost. Bianca feels like a star because she hasn't lost. Like, the way they protect these people is keep them off television. That's what they do with Sasha. If Sasha was on television these last however many months, they probably just beat her too.
Has Damian Priest lost yet?
I don't.
He got people like Miz in like a weird like roll up situation.
Yeah, he was off TV for a little while, like after the backlash wrestle the lumberjack zombie match. But he hasn't lost since. He was in that battle royal. Yeah, he isn't. He got beaten in a 2-on-1 handicap match like right after WrestleMania.
That was the match
you're referencing.
Him and Sheamus is a good mid-card title match at SummerSlam.
Yes. Yeah.
They're gonna kick ass and it gives Priest a good moment, you know?
Yeah.
I like that match a lot, actually. I like the card. As a standalone card without any content.
It's not a bad card.
Yeah. I'm not saying it's great, but like there's good talent on that show. It'll be a good show, you know?
God, the problem with Priest is that the only people he's beaten are Morrison and Miz.
Yeah.
I've seen that.
The only match they've done is just those two guys.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I just don't
like. He doesn't have a one-on-one win over not. I guess he beat Sheamus, so in a championship contender match. So okay, there's at least that. Before that, he beat Riker in March. Otherwise, just all Miz and Morrison.
Jesus. So what else is on the card? Have we missed anything? Is that it? Usos and Mysterios.
Yeah.
And again, I haven't seen a lot of matches, but I'm sure it'll be very good.
It'll be good.
Yeah. So, you know, you put Usos in there with Rey Mysterio, it's like, it's going to be good. And then Dominic's there. And it'll be good. Like, I, again, guys, I think their pay-per-views have been consistently good for like years now. Like, I really do. Like,
I will say, people have told me that. Yeah. People have told me that. A few guys I work with, they're like, look, the pay-per-views are good. I don't understand. Like, the TV sucks ass, but the pay-per-views are pretty decent. And I'm still, no, can't do it.
But the biggest problem is the TVs like make the pay-per-views worse actively. Like, if you watch the pay-per-views without any context, you'll enjoy them more. Because Priest and Sheamus, I haven't seen them wrestle.
if you just watch the pay-per-view and you see those like pre-match videos and stuff, you're like, oh man, this is awesome. Seems like they've built this up. This is fun. This should be a good match and everything. And the matches are typically good. It's when you watch the television that you just, again, your interest gets killed.
It's beating the dead horse. I know. I understand that. But you got to cut Raw to 2 hours. I understand why it doesn't happen. I understand why you can't. I get all that. But you got to. If you cut that hour off of Raw, it'd make a world of difference probably.
Yeah, they ain't doing it.
I don't know, man. I just think there's so much. Like, this is not the podcast to really delve into their creative issues. They're so deep at this point. And, like, it's such a philosophy thing that, again, like, if you talk about it, you just broken record at this point. You know, like, we all know the deal.
I do have a WWE-related question for you two, though, that I came into the show with in my head.
Why? Don't ask it to us.
My God.
No, just something to ponder. Just a generalized question here. I saw that they're taping NXT after TakeOver on Sunday. And a lot of people think that this is where the whole rebranding starts. Do you think like it's going to be a noticeably different show right off the bat, or are they gradually going to step away from the NXT we know to what this new era is that Vince and these guys want?
Oh, I think it'll be gradual. What about you, Jeremy?
Yeah, I think it'll be gradual. And I think they're kind of doing it with the people. Like, I think Odyssey Jones, they see something big in him. Right. I expect him to win this breakout tournament. I think they'll continue to just, like, introduce these people, and they'll kind of cycle out guys like Karrion Kross. Like, right. I think Kross is going up to the main roster. He's basically already there. I think they'll Gargano try to just cycle. Tampa. I don't
they're
know.
Kind, they're interesting. They're ones to watch. So is Roddy Strong. So is there's another veteran guy that I'm forgetting. O'Reilly, even to an extent. Like, so is Joe winning on Sunday, guys?
I think Joe's winning on Sunday.
Yes. Yeah, I think he is.
I know you're not sold on this, Joseph.
To me, the play is Joe win. I would have Joe just win the squash at this point. Just so you can just move on.
I mean, why not? Honest to God, why not? Because if you had the balls to feed Cross to Hardy the way they did, and if Samoa Joe is who he is,
right?
5 minutes over and done with.
Yeah, NXT's Cross got to take itself in this scenario. And like, to me, the play is rebuild that Joe monster for a couple months. Pick your next guy, whoever it is, Swerve, Odyssey Jones, whoever. I don't care. Pick your next guy. Have Joe put the middle, and then move on. That would be right. To me, that's the play here, the simple play. If it's Cross and he vacates, I just think you're just shooting yourself with that blind foot. Like, no, you got to give people something. You know, people love Joe. Just do the deal and then move.
I would have, I mean, I booked this. I would have Samoa Joe squash him, and then Roddy Strong be the champ for the next decade with Bivens. I mean, that's a good hit. That's a good hit with Dragunov beating him. How excited are you for Ilya and Walter, Jack?
I'm going to watch that. I'm going to actively – I'm probably tune into SummerSlam because there's really nothing else to watch. I'm not watching TakeOver, absolutely. But I will look at Twitter, and when I see the whole Walter, Ilya's next, I'll turn it on. I'm not missing that.
I'll let you know when Walter.
Yeah, one of you guys. If one of you guys let me know, that'd be great. Because I'm
not watching this show. Are you kidding me?
The NXT show will be very good. Seriously, that would be very. It's five matches, dude. One of them's Samoa Joe. The other one's Volta. Like,
I should take. But I think what I'll do is I'll turn it on Walter Ilya, and I'll leave it on because I do want to. I am curious to see what they do with Joe and Cross.
It's just good to have Joe. Like, let's be honest. I'm a big Joe fan. He's a big part of me, like, bummed that he's not part of this whole picture with Brian and Punk. Oh, my God, the biggest part. But I'm just happy he's back. You know, like, I really thought he was done. I truly did. And I'm happy to have him back. I'm not going to waste these matches. I'll watch him. Absolutely.
I think that Cross and Joe kind of go short because this O'Reilly Cole match, 2 out of 3 falls, like.
Oh, Jesus.
This is going, like, 45 minutes or something.
Probably, yeah.
And, like, I like both of these guys. Like,
I love Adam Cole.
Yeah, Joseph knows I'm a big Adam Cole fan, and I was very excited for their first match, and then it was not my cup of tea. Their second match was very good. Like this one, it's, you know, a blend of both, as it's a street fight, and then it's a regular wrestling match, and then it's a cage match because, you know, everything's got to end in a cage in NXT, at least not a ladder. But this is going long. This is going to be a long match, and everyone knows I hate long matches, so I'm already like prepared to not like this match, and I don't like that because I want to like this match. I really do. But
if this is Adam Cole send off, it would not shock me if it's the main event.
I think it will be the main event.
Would not shock me if this is the last match.
It main evented last time, Cole and O'Reilly over Cross and Balor. Yeah, it main evented. Like I think this does main event.
Huh.
Especially if it's
Cross and Joe. If you're doing a squash and Joe wins the title, I think that's what should close the show because then you're closing with like a good moment. I think O'Reilly's winning on Sunday though, and I don't know what that means for Adam Cole's future. I just think O'Reilly is actually winning this feud, and I'm not reading into that means Cole is done. If Cole wins, obviously he's probably staying because they ain't putting. I don't think you're putting him over on the way out.
Listen, I mean, crazy. So the other said that you got Dakota and Raquel.
Yeah.
They're probably going to go 12 to 15.
Yeah.
What's the fifth title match?
LA Knight and Cameron Grimes. They've done a good job with this feud. Like Grimes is like actually, he's honestly their top baby face. Like the people are actually behind him.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you want to give it like too much time. Their last match. And they did a ladder match, but their last match, that was a singles match. The ladder match went 19 minutes. Their singles match went 13 minutes.
Listen, they've had a good pro-wrestling feud, and the people are into their stuff. So what they give them, they give them. I don't think it needs more than, you know, 15 is to me enough. More than that. But
I agree.
I think the show will be good. It's another case of whether you're into the product or not. I think the actual show itself will be good, right?
I am worried for this Cole O'Reilly match going 50 right. minutes and a lot of this happening. A lot of this.
I do think Adam's going to win. And
really?
No, I don't think Adam's going to win.
Okay.
He's going to lose. He's going to lose to Kyle because Adam's just an old school guy like that. And if Kyle's staying and Adam's going, Adam will even say, no, I'm not winning this match. Like, Kyle's going to win. And honestly, I'm not as worried as everybody else about Adam Cole on Raw or SmackDown. I'm not. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I'm not worried about it.
Why,
Jack? I think his personality is something that I really believe that report that Vince came away impressed with him as a person. And that was probably one of the few times that he met Adam and actually sat and talked to him like that. And I think Adam's presence as an entertainer can win Vince over to the point where they're not going to ruin the guy. He's just we make fun of his size, but I think his attitude and presence make up for that.
Man, I got no faith.
I do. I have some. You're, all right.
What kind of drugs you got, Jack?
Okay, here's this. Just finish the show with that. Is Adam Cole leaving?
Yes.
Instinct.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah,
I think he's not. So we're split there. Okay, really? Cool.
Well,
yeah, here, I've always said he's staying.
Is Adam Cole staying in WWE?
I think he's in that system for the next 5 years on contract. Whether he lost that long,
I think he's leaving WWE. That's my. So you think? Are you, What do you think?
I think Adam's going to sign that contract, and I think he's going to stay.
Okay, you're saying the main roster. Okay.
Yeah, I think he's going to stay. He's going to Raw or SmackDown.
I think he's beaten Kenny Omega for the title at All Out.
All Out.
That, you know what though? That's such the interesting thing with Adam is that if Adam leaves Sunday, there is no 90 days. There is right. no Adam could do whatever the hell, he can do whatever he wants.
Yeah. So Jeremy in the chat point brings up a good point, and this is where I think that I don't know if Cole's going to leave. And he says Cole leaves, Breeze is gone, up, up, down, down, pretty much done. He is so tight with Cesaro and Woods and those guys. Like, I could see him. He's a very nice guy. He's a very loyal guy, as evident by him agreeing to this short-term extension when he could have just walked out the door. Like, I could see him just being like, you know what? I like playing games with my friends on their channel and hanging out with them. He's getting paid regardless, right? Like, he's going to make good money. I could see him, like, this swaying him to
that's kind of that's the thing. And from Adam's perspective, and I don't want to get into too much of his personal life, but you got Britt. She's a top star over there. Okay. She's making a good living, and she's a dentist, in case people didn't know that. If Adam, I'm not sure if it's a million, if it's the seven-figure salary they're reporting or whatever, but I'm sure to stay, to keep them away, Adam was offered really, really, really good money. Yes. Plus what he makes on the Twitch. What's the worst that can happen? The worst that can happen is Adam signs his deal. A year from now, they do another one of these things and they tell him, well, yeah, we know you signed that contract, but out the door you go. He got to pick up some of those paychecks at least and then say, okay, well, that door at AEW is probably never really closed to me. So, all right, I'll wait a little bit and I'll go there. What's the worst? What's to lose in this situation, really? And the day, Joe, I think I told you this last week we were talking. The days of, well, WWE burying Adam Cole damages his reputation and going to another. That shit doesn't exist anymore because the fans know better. They could job Adam Cole out every week on Raw or SmackDown and then fire him. And if they do that, people are going to – they don't look at it as, well, he's damaged goods. They look at it as, well, yeah, the guy's finally going to get what he deserves.
But it is different.
There's not a lose if Adam stays with WWE here. There's really not, I don't think.
You have to say, though, while you're correct, and it wouldn't take much rebuilding – he would enter the promotion in a very different position if he came in a week than if he did in a year after losing on the main roster. It is
slightly,
different,
but nothing that's not manageable.
That's fair. You're right. I just think in terms of perception, it's like I've always thought he was staying. He should make a decision, obviously, that makes most sense to him. But like, I do think in terms of rep, he goes red hot if he just bounces. I mean, if he waits for them to damage him, I think it is different to me.
Anyway. Like, Imagine the optics if we're debuting Punk and Brian on AEW now, and then Adam Cole just fresh away from WWE, like a few days, you know, is sandwiched in between there or somewhere, shows up on Dynamite next Wednesday or something like that.
Yeah, he's their top guy in NXT. I don't care what anyone says. Like,
has been for years too.
Yeah, like he's their top guy. Like, you're right, Jack, that like he can lose on the main roster and it'll take nothing to rebuild. Like, look like they've done. I think you tweeted it, Joseph. Yeah, look what they've done with Malakai. Like, one match, and we're like, oh, he's just going to kill poor Brock Anderson. Like, they can easily rebuild these guys, even if they get damaged by WWE. But, like, he goes in there red hot. Coming from if he loses the O'Reilly match, it's going to be a close, competitive match. People will think it's great and everything.
I've seen some people say about Adam, and I get it because you could say it about 99% of the people that get released or leave or whatever, that they were misused in WWE. The strange part about Adam is, as far as his WWE contract and what he signed it for, you can't say that Adam Cole was misused in WWE.
Right.
He wasn't misused, actually. He was presented as a top star from day one when he walked in and kicked Drew McIntyre in the face. And he's been that ever since. Yeah, the NXT brand, but he's been the top guy from day one when he walked in Brooklyn.
He actually won. Like, he went up to the main roster and won on pay-per-view when he was the champion. Like, he beat Brian, he beat Pete Dunne.
Like Adam Cole, he hasn't been, as much as people, he hasn't been misused in WWE.
Right.
Not by any stretch.
But within that is the truth, though, that everywhere he's been a top guy. So if I see in a year's time he's losing to, you know, Jackson Ryker on television, That does matter. I agree with you. It doesn't matter. Big picture, like, it is different, right? It is different.
And then for better or worse, to be in this position, no matter what happens within the next week or two, to be in a position where Vince McMahon drops what he's doing and says, "I want to talk to Adam Cole. I have to talk to Adam Cole today." We hear all these stories about people waiting 5 hours outside the guy's office, and he says, "I have to talk to this guy today. Bring him in here." Like,
I'll say this. Trent has made my point much better than I could, which usually happens on this show, in saying that the idea of a guy saying, "No, you can't get me, I'm leaving," is much more powerful than them being listed in a bunch of releases. That's all I would say. Well, Adam Cole, I wish him the best. He should make that money. Nothing but love. I'm just talking, in an ideal world, he turns up after saying, "No, I ain't taking that big money main roster deal." Like, that's the most powerful way to do it. Doesn't mean he has to do it that way. It's his choice, obviously. But I'm just saying.
All right, guys, we will be on Twitch and, like, are we doing Twitch, Joseph? Is this the thing we're doing?
He's got, like, real stuff to do. I don't know.
Wait, Jack, hold on.
Jack's getting more CM Punk scoops.
No more CM Punk scoops. I just got to see. I had my mother was here, but I think she's gone. If she's gone, I'll do it.
Oh, my God. Mother, hate you.
No.
Sorry, Mom. I'm talking.
All right. She's still here.
My buddies here about wrestling. I ain't got time to spend with you.
No, next week I'll do this, unless my baby's here. Next week I'll do the switch with you guys.
I don't know if I can actually advertise this, but I'm going to do it. Fuck it.
Do it.
Tomorrow you can see Jack. Because on Patreon, we're reviewing
Rampage. Yes, we're going to do right after. As soon as Rampage is over, we're doing the same thing we did last Friday. And we're just going to stand. We're just going to sit there for.
You guys, what needs to be advertised is youtube.com/Fightful at 11:10 after Rampage. Myself and Alex Pulowski will be reviewing Rampage and WWE SmackDown. I don't know what these guys are talking about, but I'm not trying to catch heat. All right. So you shouldn't go to patreon.com/thedistraction and watch that Rampage post show. You should stay here at youtube.com/fightful and watch the Rampage and SmackDown post show.
I'm offended. I am offended.
Distraction forever.
Look, man. Look.
You know what you just did? You just respected the good name of Matt Confirmed Shoot. That's what you just did right there.
Look,
you just disrespected.
I'm not worried about me or Joseph. Your outlaw mud shows, but I got bosses to attend to.
Disgraceful, folks. Politics.
Oh, man. Okay. Jack, plug everything. You're here.
Just follow me on Twitter at JCrosbyCBS and watch our show tomorrow night.
Joseph.
Well, listen, man, everyone knows the deal with me. At Joe Holborn, let's have fun. You know, whether SummerSlam is your thing or the Rampage, just enjoy it, man. What a ride this is right now. It's awesome. But I also want to apologize if my internet connection has been bad. I am a British person. It's very hard. We don't have good internet here. Sorry, guys.
Guys, we'll be on Twitch, twitch.tv/FightfulGaming. Yeah. Joseph will be there. I just got my PS. Look, guys, look. Plug it.
Patreon.com/TheDistraction.
What kind of truck did you get that off of?
I got it at a GameStop drop.
You got it off a truck.
Yeah. I went Fast and Furious. Remember the first one where they just robbed trucks for goods before they were in space and stuff? Yeah, that's what I did. Got the pals together and robbed the truck. Joseph will be on Twitch. I'll be setting up my PS.
And Patreon tomorrow.
Twitch.tv/FightfulGaming, patreon.com/TheDistraction, FightfulSelect.com. Thank you, guys. Everyone, enjoy y'all's evening. Join us on Twitch. We'll talk to y'all over there.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.